Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution of the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Cox, who has served three U.S. presidents and four governors, has run the state GOP since 2009. Chairman Cox, Ed, welcome back to the show.
Alan, good to be back on your show. Always a pleasure.
Well, we love having you here. We have so many things to talk about that have been happening in the Republican Party. But first, I want to ask you a Cuomo question. Everywhere I go, I'm meeting Republicans who say, you know, Cuomo's pretty good. He's my friend. He's pretty good. He's got the Senate. You know, he's helped us there and he helped us in other ways. Is he a closet Republican, do you think?
No, he's not a closet Republican. He is definitely a Democrat. But look, he understands, and I think our 09 elections, the first I really participated in, with the big win that we had in Westchester, where Rob Astorino beat Andy Spano to be county exec, that's 2-1, Democratic county, very liberal. Rob Astorino, a real fiscal conservative, wins. And then we won, of course, Nassau County, too, and legislative races. There's a tax revolt going on in this state, the highest tax state in the United States. And those two counties are among, if not the most highest tax in the United States. And running for governor, he was attorney general at the time, running for governor, I think Cuomo understood that we couldn't raise taxes. We had to cut spending, and he campaigned on that. And now working with our majority in the Senate, following through on that as much as the politics of New York permits it. So, you know, it's a good working relationship there. And he's taken a sensible position on the national side. When Ryan emerged as the vice presidential candidate for Republicans, his response to that, this is going to be a good debate on the most important issue of the year, of the election. And maybe one of the most crucial elections that we have. And we needed that good debate. And Ryan is, of course, an expert in the area of the budget and the impact of tax cutting on the budget and where we should cut and how we should cut. And he's able to communicate it also. So Cuomo's position on that was a very sensible position. And it's not a Republican position, but it's a sensible position.
Have you met Chairman Ryan at all?
I have met him in the past. We spent a day together here interacting. Very impressive, very sharp. Interestingly, not just with respect to the budget, but even with respect to the foreign affairs portfolio. He is a geopolitical thinker, and that hasn't been brought out yet, but of course it's an important qualification to be president. And the most important qualification for a vice president, and this was Romney's first criterion, that is, you have to be qualified to be president, to be vice president. You also have to appear to be qualified. And I think that Ryan met those criteria.
Were you married to your wife at the point at which Richard Nixon was the vice president?
No. We met in 1963. After the gubernatorial loss in California, and he moved east here to be a Wall Street lawyer, and Tricia went to my sister's high school. She was in her senior year then, and I was in the senior year in the high school here too. We met in the context of a class dance.
Wait! What high school?
Chapin,
okay. So
and I was at Trinity High School here.
Oh, I know Trinity. It was around the corner from where I went to junior high school, public high school, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those kids used to be, arrogant with us. You're not that way, are you?
I hope not, but you never know, right?
So why would anybody, I mean, here you are, you know, you're married to a president's daughter. Why would anybody ever want that job is my question.
Of being president?
Yeah, it's a tough job. I mean, they come at you in every single direction. I wouldn't want to be president.
Well, you know, for Governor Romney, it's part of his heritage in a way.
Yeah, that's true.
His father was a governor. I don't think he ever went through college, actually. But he ended up heading up American Motors. You remember the Nash Rambler?
Oh, indeed.
My parents. Yeah.
I made out in one.
My parents had one. It was a wonderful car. But he made a success of American Motors, became governor of Michigan, and ran to be president. Had a problem in the New Hampshire, just before the New Hampshire primary. Made some statements he regretted. Dropped out of the race. And then became Secretary of HUD in my father-in-law's cabinet. If you grow up in that kind of atmosphere, you're thinking about it. And I think it was all just a part of his upbringing that that someday, if it were possible, and he had a chance to do something for his country as president, he would run.
This is so interesting. Does this mean that thinking about your patrimony and all, that you might want to run for president?
No.
For the same reason.
Look, we need to have a strong Republican Party here in New York State. We've already had an impact with the wins we've had, with the points that we have made about a tax revolt going on here with respect to the win that we had in the 9th Congressional, Wiener's seat, the 9th Congressional District, 3-1 Democratic. It became a referendum on Obama's Israeli policy, his foreign policy, the Medicare tactics were tried there. It was a special election, was a national race. Those are win or lose those races. We're making points with respect to the direction that New York should go and having, I think, a positive impact on the politics of New York State.
So let me ask you this about Medicare. You just mentioned it. There are many people who think that that could be the bete noire for the Republican Party. Obama runs. People want their Social Security. They want their Medicare. I know that there are going to be counterarguments that Obama's the bad guy and all of that. But I think most people in New York believe that this is a very dangerous time if those two programs are affected. And it could bring the death knell to the Republican Senate hopes.
Well, Alan, you know, you're raising a very interesting point. And New York State has really been the test case for the politics of Medicare. First of all, Governor Cuomo's right. This is a topic that should be discussed, and as our vice presidential candidate, we've got the right person to get it on the table and to discuss it intelligently. And hopefully President Obama will respond, and it'll be a good debate. This is something that could not have happened but for the special elections that lead up to this. In the 26th congressional district, it was a loss, and it's for us in a special election in 2011. It was ascribed to Medicare tactics that were used by the Democrats. They certainly had an impact because it was a surprise and it was a special election. And by the time we reacted to it, the election was over. But as it turns out, the most important factor in that election was not the Medicare issue. It was the fact there was a third-party candidate, a guy named Davis, who spent $3 million of his own money banging away on China for unfair trade. In that blue-collar district in western New York, we lost the Reagan Democrats that otherwise would have voted for us, and we also lost some of the Buchanan Republicans. And that was a primary reason we lost it. Now, Democrats get very excited, oh, our Medicare tactics worked. And so along came the special election in the 3-1 Democratic 9th Congressional District, and Wiener dropped out. There was one going on in Nevada at the same time, which was a close election. They tried those tactics. We were ready for it, and in the end they dropped it because they saw it didn't work with the way we repulsed the attacks. They saw it didn't work with respect to the 9th Congressional District. It didn't work in Nevada. they kept going with it in Nevada right to the end, banging away on Medicare. We were dumping Granny over the cliff, and it didn't work. We won by 20 points there, and they even gave up the tactic here before the end of the campaign and lost here. So that paved the way for, I think, a good debate. It's something that we feel, as a party, we can raise it. We are raising it. Romney courageously has put on the ticket as vice presidential candidate, someone who can discuss it with real authority and can communicate about it. And we're ready for a good debate about entitlements going forward.
Okay. Now let's talk about Todd Akin. You're a Republican chairman of one of the most important states in the union. What do you make of this guy? Now, I said he was an idiot on the air the other day. I think I heard Morning Joe say the same thing this morning. And I got a letter saying you shouldn't call him an idiot. What do you think? Is he an idiot?
Look, No. What he said is terrible. Should not have said it. It was should not think it. That is not. It's not factually correct. It's morally wrong. But that doesn't make him an idiot. It just makes a very, very bad judgment on his part, and it draws into question his qualifications to be a United States senator.
You're on the inside, and let's make a little news here. If you, Ed Cox, you had to tell us what was really going on, the Republicans know that this guy could be the difference between them taking the United States Senate and not. So they got to get him out of there, right?
Well, and that has been sort of the universal reaction with respect to him. Obviously, the Democrats attacked what he said, but the Republicans also properly said this was completely inappropriate and wrong.
Look, you're the chairman. You're in the inside. You're talking to all of your colleagues right now. What are you telling them to do?
Withdraw. He said he's not going to withdraw. He's going to stay in the race. He points to a poll that shows his remarks. He apologized for them, said they were wrong, and that it really has not impacted. A quick poll that was done, it shows that it's not impacted the race. And so he says he's going, from what I've heard, I haven't heard him say it himself, but from what has been reported, he says he's going to stay in the race.
Are there ways? I mean, tell everybody, because you know it. Are there ways to make him withdraw?
No. He won the nomination fair and square in a three-way race.
And it's our understanding that his Democratic opponent, McCaskill, wanted him to win because she felt he was way out there and would probably be the best person to run against.
Yeah.
And that she even may have spent some money to make that happen.
Exactly. I mean, so she really promoted him. And, of course, she has made her own mistake in attacking what he said. She just should have, from her point of view, remained silent on it. So I'm not sure she has really distinguished herself in this whole process by the way she promoted him, in essence, by in the primary. But look, if you compare this to what Vice President Biden said, and the White House didn't disclaim it right away, and they tried to explain it away, as opposed to what we did. I mean, here, the Vice President of the United States, not a candidate for the Senate, but the Vice President of the United States, pandering to a group of African Americans, said that Romney's put y'all back in chains, using a Southern accent as if he's a segregationist Southern sheriff.
No, quite the contrary.
Yeah,
he's one
criticized for it, yeah. But I gotta say, there wasn't any immediate reaction by prominent Democrats and others that should have very quickly chastised him for what he said.
Now, Ed, you know how much I respect you, but I'm asking you a question. You don't really equate those two things. Somebody who says, you know, legitimate rape, as opposed to a guy who was, you know, in comradeship with the people he was talking to, using their style of language.
You mean it is not immoral to say that Governor Romney has put y'all back in chains?
Well, with some, if you take your Social Security away.
I got to say that is way, Alan, look, they're different issues and different things, but both of these are way off the charts. And the Vice President of the United States should never never make such a statement.
Well,
I mean, this is a person who sits in the West Wing of the White House, just the hall down from the President of the United States.
And a heartbeat away from the President.
Is his partner here, is his advisor, that's the modern-day Vice President. It's not what it used to be. As Harry Truman said about it, all I do is go to weddings and funerals. He didn't know anything about the atomic bomb, didn't know anything about the military strategy for ending the war. The Democrats prop up FDR, who was dying, so that he could get reelected. And you got a vice president who doesn't understand what's going on and some of the most important issues today. That's no longer the case. And for him to make a statement like that should have been renounced right away by the president and any other right-thinking Democrat.
Okay, you're the guest, so I'm not going to disagree with you anymore on that. Okay, what about...
you're a gentleman, Alan. And a scholar.
Now, all of that is true. So what about Senator Gillibrand? Why can't you guys find anybody who can run against your candidate? Wendy Long is getting, you know, shafted here. She's running far behind.
Well, that's the present polls, and this is the doldrums of summer. She won the primary on June 26. I have to say the media was not didn't cover that victory the way they should have. I think they're now making up for it because I think... This should be, look, New York deserves a good race
right
here. And you've got two different points of view. You've got Gillibrand, who really people don't know her that well, what she stands for, because she was at one point an upstate conservative Democrat in a Republican district as a member of Congress. And then when Governor Patterson appointed her to fill Mrs. Senator Clinton's position, and she was a Democratic senator, suddenly she moved far to the left, where she is now one of the two most liberal senators in the United States Senate. Now, there's a very pragmatic political reason for her doing that. That is, she doesn't feel she's going to be threatened by a Republican from the center. Therefore, she's her concern, given her conservative record as a member of Congress, she'd be challenged in a Democratic primary. So protected by Schumer and also going far to the left, she covered her left flank, but that leaves her open in the center. And that is where I think we've got a chance, given the right circumstances in the national election, et cetera, to really have a great race here. A race that New Yorkers deserve, and hopefully have not just a Democratic senator in Schumer and his clone who's really following what he does. So you really only have one senator to have a Republican senator, because I think we're going to have a Republican Senate, and New York would do much better having a Republican senator in a Republican majority Senate.
An interesting idea. I do remember when she was appointed that on one side of her was Schumer, who said she would evolve, as you have indicated, in her stances. But on the other side, wasn't that somebody who looked an awful lot like Al D'Amato, the conservative Republican?
The interesting thing about that was not an election. That was an appointment.
Right.
And he had a personal connection with her. And so as much as Schumer has showed up at the inaugurations of Republicans around the state, I have seen him do that, because inaugurations are not victories. They are the office holder going into office. So what happened there with the appointment, this was not a victory celebration. It was the office holder, in essence, being inaugurated, going into office. And I think that Senator D'Amato felt that he could show up at that.
Well, you think Senator D'Amato would be campaigning against her now?
Senator D'Amato, I think, will be supporting the Republican candidate.
Okay. Get your crystal ball out, because I want to ask you some real fast questions, and you answer quickly, okay? Okay, first of all, the New York State Senate, it stays Republican?
It stays Republican, and we probably increase our majority, hopeful, possibly by three, but certainly we'll increase our majority.
The National Convention in Tampa. Tell us all, because we're all novices at this, what should we be looking at? Anything interesting, or will it be a bore?
Absolutely. You're going to see Governor Romney giving a terrific acceptance speech where he will be giving his vision for the future of America as contrasted to the Obama's vision, and that's going to set the stage for his becoming president of the United States.
Would that be the first great speech he's ever given? I mean, I've never seen him really wow the crowd.
Look, this is a man who has been a terrific businessman, understands what makes the economy work, has the guts to select as his vice president someone who is more conversant on the most and communicates better with respect to the most important topic of our time, the budget and Medicare and Social Security and Medicaid. And he was willing to say, that's the person I am, because he is the best person on this, even better than I am, to communicate this. So I'm going to make him my vice president. And as you know, the vice president is the one person you have in the White House who you cannot fire. So it is a very significant move that he made. But as far as communicating, while he has a lot of strengths, that's not his strength. I think he's going to show in his acceptance speech that he can, as our nominee, communicate a vision very effectively in that kind of a major set speech when the whole nation will be watching.
And I can't resist, and I'm sorry, Ed, I apologize already before I even say it, but we did fire Agnew. You remember that? You said you can't fire a vice president.
No, he resigned. He wasn't fired.
I got it. Okay.
It's his choice.
I hear you. Technically, you're certainly right about that. Hey, Ronald Reagan won New York State. Is there any chance that Romney will win New York State?
Yes. This election very much feels, I've measured this, it's felt like from the start 1980 all over again. You've got a weak economy, a sitting Democrat who has not been able to be effective with respect to the economy. In fact, Obama ignored jobs and the economy and doing something about it in his first year. He wanted to be the transformational president, so he did.
He thought he's
tried card check, tried cap and trade, couldn't even get that through his Democratic Congress with 60 Democrats in the Senate, so he didn't have to worry about a filibuster. He finally crams with bipartisan opposition, crams after Scott Brown's election in Massachusetts, which was a referendum on the people in the United States, we don't want it. He crammed Obamacare through Congress, helped along by huge loads of pork for some fellow Democrats to go along. And American people got it. They said, this guy is not paying attention to what we elected him to do. And that was to pay attention to jobs and the economy. It's somewhat the same as Carter in 1980. The thing that was missing was the solidity that Reagan had as being a real fiscal conservative. And Romney, by appointing Ryan, by selecting Ryan to be his vice presidential candidate, has really put a stake in the ground and has made this election very much like 1980 when we won the presidency and also carried a majority in the United States Senate. I think the same is going to happen this time.
Well, that's interesting. I have a very special place in Macy's window where I want to meet you if that happens.
That's a deal, Alan. You're on.
Okay, so now the congressional seats very quickly. Do you expect that the net result of these elections will be that the Republicans will pick up congressional seats?
Look, this is the way we had nonpartisan judicial redistricting for the first time that I know in the history of New York State politics. As a result, to a greater or less extent, both Democrats and Republicans are running in districts that are new to them. And that puts all of the seven seats that we have, in essence, competitive one way or the other. It also puts four or five Democratic seats competitive. So we could put, I suspect, if the national election goes the way I think it's going to go, we could pick up as many as five seats.
Well, I love talking to you, Ed Cox. You're fun, you answer the questions, you show up, and you're a great guy. So thank you. Thank you, Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party.
It's always a pleasure to be with you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. Ian Pickus is producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.